Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Beto Duran, we're bringing him on from Spectrum Sportsnet to calm Tony down. Beto, he thinks that they got the number four pick. They're like getting ready to hang a banner or something. I don't know.
I don't know where I start with this show. I'm going there. What's up with that bumper music?
You didn't like it?
First of all, that's
Tony's favorite.
That's old Blue Eyes right there.
Yeah, you can't knock that one.
You got the Mexican coming on, man. You got some little...
Touche.
Because you know I'm going to come in, and especially after you texted me yesterday, you know I'm coming in strong with it.
Yeah, I just told them that you were coming in there to bust my bubble. So why don't we open the floor up to you, Beto, so you can go ahead and just go...
Well, no, you know what? Why don't we just read our text messages? That's what
I don't know if it's appropriate online on air.
No,
so.
It's not, because I said some stuff I shouldn't have said. But no, it's, look, way better than having the number 11 pick, but you got the fourth pick in a draft where there's only three real horses. And, like, I mean, the fourth pick is nice, but what are you really going to do with it? And LeBron, you know, he's not rebuilding. Like, so trade the pick as soon as you can. I'm happy for Tony and Laker fans, because now you have more value in a four pick than you would with a 10 or 11 pick.
Indeed.
And somehow, some way, I don't feel confident about it, because, look, you're going to have somebody that you want to trade in that pick if they do want to trade it. But who's really going to want to help you out? Because Pelinka has alienated a bunch of the NBA. Everybody that's a Laker fan is like, cool, now we'll trade that pick and get AD. Why would the Pelicans do that? Why would they help out the Lakers? They don't care if AD wants to come here or not. Now they're going to try to sell Davis to stay here with Zion and build something there. It's just, I love it, because it's good fortune for the Lakers. But, man, the delusional Laker fans are like, okay, now we got this pick, and we're going to get everybody we want and not give up anybody. Like, no. You've got to give up some of these young guys. So it's good fortune for them. But, damn it, after all these years of good fortune, do something with it. You had the Russell pick. You weren't patient enough, and he's gone. You had Lonzo Ball at the number two pick, and what did you really get out of it? So picks take a while to develop. As Padre fans, you guys know that. It takes forever for them to develop. And LeBron has no time to develop. LeBron needs to win now, because think about this. It's April, May, and LeBron is worried more about the shop and developing a show for Canelo and Daniel Jacobs than he is talking about the NBA playoffs. Like, the NBA fan is being robbed of LeBron in the playoffs. It's not just Laker fans. Everybody, man.
Well, let me get a little retort back here first. Okay, so first you said
it is your show.
It is my show. First you said that the Lakers didn't give D'Angelo enough time to develop, but then on the very next sentence you said was, and then you drafted Lonzo Ball. Look what you got. So are you saying that the Lakers have given Lonzo Ball enough time to develop?
No, they haven't.
Okay.
But then again, was it really Lonzo Ball the guy they should have took with that number two pick?
No,
I like the pick personally. I mean, who else is?
Yeah.
Who else would have taken?
I think 47% free throw shooters are perfect as number two picks.
Free throw percentages is the last thing I'm looking at. But go ahead.
Hey, at that time, weren't everybody was just on this Lonzo Ball like storyline of like, oh, you draft a kid from UCLA. He's from Chino Hills. That's like an hour and a half away. Like, oh, he's the local kid. No, if you know anything about Southern California, you know that Chino Hills might as well be Arizona, man, if you're in traffic. So it's not like that was a sales job from his dad to get the kid here to build all that other stuff. And look, Alonzo is one of the coolest kids I've met, for being so young and all the stuff that he's got to deal with and the pressure and all that other stuff. But this dude is taking a long time to develop, and he still needs more time to develop.
Wait, I'm clear. D'Angelo Russell in what, his fourth season? Is this his fourth?
Yeah.
His fourth season became an all-star. Lonzo Ball is going into his third. It hasn't been healthy in two of them.
At all. So, and he's taking 2 days. You have two. You Lonzo was brought in, and the theory was he's ready. We're going to get something through with him. And Lonzo is not – it's not fair to Lonzo where we're at right now with him because, look, he was hurt at UCLA. He played half the year. He was hurt in his first year with the Lakers. He's had an injury, so it's not fair to him. But, Tony, like, how much summer league basketball can you watch with the Lakers, man?
I'm not watching any summer league this year. I'm boycotting it.
Yeah, you are. Nope. You're watching it because that's – look. That's what we do. April, May.
Didn't they win the championship last year?
I feel like they've won it the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Man, summer league. It used to be like, for me as a reporter, all right, come Memorial Day, I'll be some city covering the Lakers in the playoffs. Now it's like April, 1-2-3 Cancun, right? Like,
oh, Nick Van Exel, huh?
Oh, but at least they had a shot. At least you knew what you were getting. And it's just a weird time. That was what I was texting yesterday. The fact that Kurt Rambis is involved, like, where did that come from? Like, you know, it's, they have their inner circle, but nobody in that inner circle has run an organization well. Like, Jeannie, you know, she is what she is. She inherited the team. She's been running it. But a lot of the passive aggressiveness from her when her brother was there with Mitch Kupchak, it's now coming to light. And, look, a lot of Laker fans are turning on her now.
Well, they can't fire her, so they're just going to have to deal with it because, I mean, she's...
Hey, but the minority owners can do something.
They could. They haven't done anything yet. She's been ownership for quite some time.
Yeah, but look how bad it is, Tone. Like, you're getting laughed at by the rest of the league. Like,
I just see this is the thing about Los Angeles folks right here is that they make a mountain into a molehill or turn a molehill into a mountain. I'm just saying, ultimately, the Lakers have been in far worse position than they are this year in the past 5-6 years where they were winning 14, 15, 16 games. Now you got LeBron, you had a bad season. They have to play well this next year. And I guess, where do you come down on the Frank Vogel hire?
Cool guy. I mean, but does it really matter who's LeBron's coaching the team. LeBron's doing it all. Like I was telling yesterday, there's so much turnover behind the scenes that we really haven't heard about. And you're like, what is going on back there? The equipment manager was let go in the middle of the season this year. The equipment dude. Like, the guy handing out the towels. Like, what is this? Because there's one guy running the organization right now, and he's going to get what he wants. As far as Frank Vogel, look, Tony, when you ever apply for a manager job, right, well, you and I have had to talk, or you as a radio guy or a TV guy, you want to bring in your guys, you're not going to let somebody tell you, hey, this is who your partner's going to be, and you better do it. That's Jason Kidd right there. Jason Kidd was forced onto the staff because he has a good relationship with Kurt. Like, if you're Frank Vogel, I mean, was anybody knocking on the door for Frank Vogel? Was anybody saying, hey, let's go get him? No.
I'd be lying if I said I heard his name mentioned prior to the Lakers.
Yeah, and the thing is, look, and I've heard nothing but good things about him, but, I mean, it's just, I guess what you're saying, like, about L.A. people make the mountain out of molehill, yeah, you can, because you've expected certain things. You've been told certain things. You have freaking LeBron James, and you're not in the playoffs.
That's
like,
true.
How did this happen?
That's pretty hard to do.
I can't even argue that.
All right, let's throw one positive thing into this real quick.
Thank you, Chris. I'm going to try to
do one positive thing, and then if you want to shoot it down, cool. But But isn't it true that the Lakers were one of the best teams in the Western Conference, at least top half, maybe top five, on Christmas Day when LeBron got hurt? And if they were able to bring this team back together with LeBron and the kids healthy and maybe just draft somebody with the number four pick, there's a chance they could get back to that point again next season. Obviously, assuming everybody stays healthy, but that's always the case.
Yeah, of course. That's the positive part. But that was what, December, Christmas time? You weren't even at the All-Star break? And when your leader, when you're like the face of the franchise, is like not there engaged with you when you're drinking wine on the bench during the game and there's guys on the team who don't even speak to you. I mean, it's a different agenda because until LeBron gets the guys that he wants, I mean, what's really going to happen? They were trying to trade everybody for AD. And yeah, they're younger guys who never really dealt with that kind of stuff. And we can say, hey, you're a professional now. But until you go through it, you really don't know how guys are going to react. Yeah, they could do that. But at the same time, you still got relationships to rebuild. Look, Chris, as a media guy, LeBron did not do an exit interview this year. Like, they sent in Kuzma to talk to the media and talk for these guys. Like, LeBron, the day after, or the day when Magic stepped down, like, I told you guys, his security was like, no, don't record this, because that's going to get used part of one of his shows. Like, Pelinka did not talk to the media. I'm not saying that they have to, right? I'm not saying that, you know, it's their obligation. but at least have something to do where you can go and explain what's going on. If not, we're going to run around and just all kinds of speculation of what's going on here. Who's really in charge? Like, the Clippers had, they have two young general or assistant general managers that are like the new age guys that have like the degrees from fancy universities and all this other stuff. The Lakers didn't even ask permission to possibly talk to them to bring them in the front office, but yet other teams were interviewing them for GMs, and they turned down GM jobs in other places to stay an assistant with the Clippers. Like, the front office, that's what – I guess that's what my big problem is. Where is the direction that makes you believe that they can turn this around, that they can go and figure things out? And I've been one of the guys, like, adamant about, like, they'll get it, they'll get it, they'll get it. But at the same time
– Now, when you talk to me, you don't do that. So I don't know who you're doing that with. You're not doing it with me.
When I'm on Spectrum Sports Fan doing the TV show, you know?
Yeah, I guess you got to.
I know where the bread is buttered. Hey, but it's also like you see everybody else adjusting. What are the Lakers doing? Their Jeannie is keeping her inner circle, the people that she trusts, which is what we would all do. We would hire the people that we trust. But when Kurt Rambis has a losing record as a coach, he went to New York as an assistant because Phil brought him over, and now he's the one in the meetings for the like the coaching staff. Like, damn! Like, do you really have any kind of hope that they can figure something out?
All right, you know something, Tony? I tried, but I agree with Beto, 100%. This is a complete, total disaster, and it's never going to recover. Hey, thanks for the time, as always, Beto. We love having you on the show, and I love you keeping Tony in line a little bit, because he was...
I want them to win. I really do, because...
It doesn't sound like it, Beto. It doesn't sound like it at all.
Oh, I haven't gotten paid in a month, bro. Like, I got...
Hey, guy's sour, man.
Come on my podcast. I got plenty of time for podcasts now.
Jeez. He's sour. Hey, Beto, thanks so much for the time, man. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon. During better times, better days.
Take care, Beto.
They are ahead.
It's a big five.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a...
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I just want to remind everyone, the Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Treatment Systems for anywhere you drink water.
And I will say this, that last year when Tyson Ross made that no-hit bid in Arizona, I was doing the post-game show that night, and I was sitting in the studio. I was getting nervous. Honestly, it felt that important.
I was at home watching the same thing,
and
feeling the same exact way.
I honestly was nervous for them to get that no-hitter, and they didn't get it.
Do you remember all the controversy with Don Orsillo and Mark Grant talking about it in the booth, and all the Twitter people freaked out?
That's so dumb. I'm not even going to count it as controversy, because it was
just
ridiculous.
Stupidity.
They were all over those guys. You guys broke up the no-hitter!
That's so dumb.
They were mad at him for giving the score and saying no hitter or whatever it was. It was stupid.
All right, let's get to
it.
Number five.
Cubs veteran Ben Zobrist remains on a personal leave of absence from the team, and court documents filed in Chicago indicate that he is getting a divorce, and that's why he has done this. The team has not given a reason for his absence, nor a potential return date. Manager Joe Maddon said, "No indication. I texted with him the other day and reminded him how much I care about him and how much we miss him," end quote. Zobrist was hitting .241 with 10 RBIs in 26 games prior to taking his absence from the team. Chris, do you think professional athletes have different requirements to work than the common person? Like, should he be allowed to take off a bunch of games for a personal matter?
I don't even want to put myself in his position here, so I'm not going to. I'll just say that I think everybody goes through these kinds of things differently. I think there's different, no matter what line of work you're in, I think there's some people that could probably get a divorce and show up to work that morning. There's probably some people that would be divorced, going through a divorce, and not be able to get out of bed for a month. And I don't hold either side, you know, as the wrong or right way to go about it. So, you know, I don't know all the details of this with he and his wife. I hope the Cubs support him through this. And in my mind, anyway, Zobrist has done enough for my organization, a la helping me win a World Series and being the MVP, that I would be more than willing to support him through this and hope that he comes through it okay.
Now, does he get paid while he's on this leave of absence, or is it...
Paid leave, I believe.
Okay. Tony, what do you think?
That I might have a problem with after, like, say,
30 games,
a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, but for now, I'm going to support him.
Tony? Sorry.
Scraby, go ahead and just, if you're going to sneeze, sneeze right into the microphone.
I turned it off.
Well, we could hear it all
sneezing.
The way over here.
I got
here.
A little bit of junk in my lungs, so.
A little junk in your lungs. Goodness. All right.
What do you think about Ben Zobrist? Do you think professional athletes have different requirements than the common person?
No, I don't think it has anything. I think different businesses have different rules. You know, in Chicago's case, they seemingly are okay letting him be away while he takes care of whatever's going on. I think, listen, as Chris said, these type of things are very personal and they affect people in different ways. So if he's not going to be useful to your team because he's going through something like this, why not let him have the time off? Why make him be there and be miserable while he's going through a very personal situation? So I don't have a problem with it. And no, I don't necessarily think athletes have a different set of rules.
It hasn't been all that long since they started giving athletes time off for paternity leave.
Yes, right. That was a big thing,
and
too.
Then there
that just started.
And it hasn't been a whole lot longer than that since they gave anybody time off in any job for paternity leave. So,
good points.
We're still catching up.
We're still catching up, yeah.
So yeah, how long do you think I'm legitimately asking, how long, if I needed to take off time, could I, do you think, take off work here without them saying, all right, well, we either need to quit or you need to...
I know you can take as much time off as you need to, and I won't say a word.
I know. You know that. You think 2 weeks is probably my max?
I think it depends on how... Listen, the Cubs have enough guys on that team that are superstars and really good that it takes the attention off of a guy like Ben Zobrist. It depends on your value for whatever organization you're working for. If you walked out... If you weren't here for about 10 days, me and Chris would be in trouble. You know, you produce the show. You do a fantastic job.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
I don't know how the bosses would feel, but I certainly would be ringing your phone like, hey, bro, you need to get back to work.
Yeah.
We're struggling without you.
I got you.
Okay.
All right.
Number four.
There's just not enough. We can't make enough fun of Thomas. We need you back.
Thomas doesn't provide you.
No.
He doesn't walk into the situations like I do.
He doesn't not throw up the soft lobs like
yeah,
you do.
The magic. Your magic is hard to match.
Miami Hurricanes new quarterback Tate Martell says Ohio State helped him make his decision to transfer from Ohio State to Miami. Martell was next in line for the Ohio State starting quarterback job, but in January, Coach Ryan Day lured five-star Justin Fields away from Georgia after just 1 year with the Bulldogs. Martell said, quote, the good thing that happened was that I was told, so I wasn't in a bad situation. So that's the only thing I can say that was good about the situation is I wasn't lied to, end quote. This has people saying NCAA football is resembling the professional game and education is no longer on the forefront. So, Tony, has the NCAA completely lost the spirit of college athletics?
No, no, and no. When it comes to college athletics, it has always been this way. It may have been not in our face like it is right now, but they've been doing this for as long as I can remember.
Transferring
watching.
Like the how
no,
easy?
Like I said, the transfer rules changed, but the transfer rules are unfair. Coaches are jumping ship, going from college to
whenever
they want. Players are signing on with those colleges thinking, oh, I'm going to have this coach for my entire college career. And next thing you know, he signs. Next day, coach is gone. So they kind of were forced to kind of move in that direction as far as letting these transfers do what they want to do. But I don't think this is anything new. And listen, I think ultimately we can have an argument about whether Ohio State was in the right or wrong for doing that. But I, for one, appreciate that they didn't lie to the young man and he was able to get to a place where he'd have a chance to play. Because most of the time, they do lie to you.
They bring someone in.
They bring somebody in. Oh, you guys are going to have, it's going to be a clean competition. You guys are going to have a chance. They told him straight up that that may not be the case. And I think all athletes, at the end of the day, all they want is to be somebody to be honest with them. Because you can work with honesty. If somebody's lying to you, you can't really work with that.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
Ditto.
Nothing more?
Not really.
Tate Martell, have you guys ever heard of the show QB1 Beyond the Lights? It's a Netflix show. He was actually featured in this show when it came out a couple years ago. It's pretty good if you want to check it out on Netflix.
I've seen it
Beyond
before.
The Lights. So let's go to number four.
Number three.
The Jets fired their GM today in a pretty surprising move. New York media is completely shocked by it, and reports are out saying that Adam Gase did not want to have Le'Veon Bell or any other high-priced running back on the team. Now Gase has been given the keys to the Jets' kingdom after being named interim GM. That's not expected to last long as they look to hire a replacement, but Jets fans are voicing their displeasure of the move because Adam Gase is not really a proven head coach. So, Chris, Do you think Adam Gase has done enough to prove the Jets should make him the top guy in their organization?
This is the perfect guy to go to first.
I know. This is why I put this question here.
Yes, he's done a magnificent job. He ran the Miami Dolphins franchise right into the ground, so he's more than qualified to run yet another one right into the ground.
Do you find this story crazy?
Well, yeah. I mean, this guy hired Gase, right?
Yeah,
pretty sure he did.
He did.
And now he's being removed.
And did all
Gase
the draft.
Is setting, you know, stepping into his shoes. It at the very least, it makes the Jets look dysfunctional.
Look like my Lakers.
And they have company. So, yeah, this isn't, you know, in that regard, it's something we see quite much too often in sports. We don't know what happened behind the scenes here, but obviously Gase and this guy weren't seeing eye to eye, and you just hired Gase as your coach. It looks worse to fire him than it does the GM.
True.
So,
poor GM.
I guess they had to do it.
Tony, what do you think?
What was the question again?
Do you think the Jets have Do you think the Jets
You know, you asked that an awful lot,
you do.
By the way.
You do.
All right.
I was kind of reading the background on this, story.
Do you think Adam Gase has done enough in his career to prove the Jets should make him the top guy in the organization?
No.
I don't think he's going to be anyway.
I don't think he is either.
They'll replace him.
This is short-lived. Reportedly, Daniel Jeremiah is under serious consideration for his job.
NFL Network guy?
NFL Network guy.
Yes, that's
the
new
thing
now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a copycat league. Obviously, you know, who was the
high... The Oakland hired Mike Mayock.
Oakland hired, but the coach. Who was the coach? The Rams Gruden. Coach. No.
McVay.
Sean McVay.
Everybody's going out and trying to hire the top... offensive mind.
But I don't know why everybody would want to go out and hire a Mike Mayock. He's yet to prove himself in that role with the Raiders.
True.
That's a good point.
But it is interesting now that is a logical next step. Right. NFL Network to NFL GM.
That is
now
crazy.
Accepted as a logical next step.
Yeah, I think Gase hasn't done anything to prove that he deserves a GM, but I think it's going to be short-lived. I don't think he is... And to hold on to this.
I went on a bunch of different Jets blogs. I love reading the comments on people's
social
media.
Jets or anything.
Oh, man,
New
they're
York.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They're crazy. But they're saying that Adam Gase has hijacked the franchise because they think he's going to bring in his guy and everything is going to be his thing. And so no matter what they do, it's going to be the same result of Adam Gase keeping the job or not.
I just think for the Adam Gase regime in New York is off to a slow start. Let's put it that way.
It's a weird start.
But it can be changed if they go...
Can Adam Gase continue to keep a hat on his head? That way we don't get caught
that
up in his crazy
helpful.
Eyes.
That would be helpful.
His eyes...
When he has a hat on, he looks like a completely different dude.
He does.
He's a scary individual, that one.
You know, that picture of him with his eyes is all over the place. Tony's doing it right now. Wow, you're pretty good at that.
Number two.
I talked about it a little bit earlier. I am excited about this one. The Rays adopted a strategy last year that some people like and some people didn't. You two did not like it. They were using closing pitchers and relief pitchers to pitch an inning or two to start the game. Well, they're employing another outside-the-box strategy, and it's paying off for them. They're using their hottest hitter as the leadoff man, no matter who it is. The number one hitter in the Rays lineup ranks first in Major League Baseball with a .353 average. The Astros are in second with a .320 average. And even further... The Rays' first batter in the first inning this season is hitting .457 this season. The Rangers are in second at .400. Tony's had his hand up for like 30 seconds. Tony, do you like this strategy?
No, I don't like the strategy.
I think it's great.
Of course you do.
The results are there.
Let me tell you why. If you're just taking your hottest hitter every game and putting him in a leadoff spot, no wonder why your leadoff hitter is going to be hitting so high. You literally are moving, no matter who it is, the hottest hitter that day, moving them to the top.
I've been looking for the Padres stat all day on leadoff hitter. I can't find it anywhere, but they
it's
have a problem
good.
With getting a leadoff man on base.
So what? Does it translate? Does it translate? Did you bother checking that out?
Yes, because they're leading the division.
Did you bother checking out why they're leading the division?
Because they're winning.
And because their pitching is unbelievable.
You don't think 50% of the time that someone gets on base is for the first at-bat of the game leads
Where
to...
Where do you see that?
Are you ready for my
457.
Trump... Are you ready for my Trump card?
That's yes.
Are you ready for
46%.
My Trump card? Can
yes.
I play my Trump card now?
Donald Trump card?
The Rays rank 20th in Major League Baseball in runs scored. So is this strategy really that brilliant?
I mean, we could dive deep.
That's
into...
not even a deep
whoa,
dive.
That's whoa, not even that's a deep not dive. Deep. That's just one
saying,
scored.
I would love to know.
I'm telling you, it's not necessarily working as well as you say it is.
I would, if I were to dive even deeper, I would love to know how many of those guys in the first inning score to get the Rays the first score of the game, and how many times they win. When they score,
they're
first
having
in the
a
game.
Nice season because their pitching has been excellent. They're doing this because they're desperate to find a way to score runs.
I need to look at these guys.
They're 20th best in baseball in runs scored, so it doesn't. It's obviously not translating their leadoff guy in the first inning getting on to helping them. I mean, they got 186 runs. Houston has 240. It's not even in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up these stats.
You just look it up, Scraby. But you know what? It would be better if you looked it up before you brought this stupid stuff to the table.
I swear, you can ask everyone. I was trying so hard to find the Padres' leadoff hitter average.
But we're not talking about the Padres. We're just talking about...
I was trying to compare him to the Padres because if the... Never mind. Let's go. I thought this was a great idea, and I hope the Padres do it. Put Manny Machado first, please.
Well, he's not their best hitter right now.
Franmil, put him first.
Well, he's almost first. He's second.
All right. Number one. Kareem Hunt spoke to the media today for the first time as a Cleveland Brown. The running back signed with the Browns in February after being cut by the Kansas City Chiefs when a video surfaced of Hunt shoving and kicking a woman at his Cleveland residence in 2018. Because of that altercation, Hunt will miss the first 8 games of the 2019 season for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Here is what he said about that incident and how he is handling it today in his press conference.
I'm a person who's always kind of positive, and I bring a smile to everybody's face, and you know, I like to hang out and joke around with the guys and stuff like that. I'm just one of those guys who really don't really like drama at all. So I'm a guy who will go out in the community and do what I can for them. I've always done that stuff in the community.
That's the clip that I chose. He went on to say later that he is very involved with high schools now. He goes and speaks to them, says that he never had anyone to talk to as a young guy in high school, so he wants to be that guy. My question to you guys is, Chris, do you think Kareem Hunt has learned his lesson?
No.
Mm. Sad.
Not by what he just said there. I just think it's a long shot that you can completely change the spots on a leopard. You can say that you want to put a smile on everybody's face. I don't think you're putting a smile on that young lady's face when you were kicking her. I'm about second chances, so I'm being a little hypocritical.
I can understand it.
But I also just feel like if you are the type of person that can do what he did and what we saw, it's really tough to root that entirely out. So I'm going to root for him, but I won't be surprised if it doesn't work.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think Kareem Hunt has learned his lesson?
TBD. To be determined. I think, what have we seen from Kareem Hunt? I mean, he hasn't even been, we haven't seen him since the incident, right? He's been.
It happened in January. He got suspended in February. Yeah. Or he signed with the Browns in February, but.
Yeah, this is TBD. To be determined. We'll find out.
Do you have an inkling, a feeling? Do you just have a.
No, because if you truly are a second chance person,
then you believe in second chances.
You believe in second chances, and you're willing to, until he proves you differently, you're willing to give him that second chance. So here we go. I hope he.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Proves us correct.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Kurt Kenny said...
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Diego Union Tribune joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Kurt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourself?
We're doing well. We've been, Chris actually brought up the fact that today, if the Padres are unsuccessful.
I only brought it up because Kirk told me.
Oh.
So just so you know that. I did not know this, but he told me.
Or unsuccessful in throwing a no-hitter today, they will, was it tie the record?
Is that right,
they
Kirk?
Tie it.
They tie it today, yeah, right? They're at 50 years and 37 days, something like that?
50 years, 1 month, and 8 days.
Okay.
Will be tomorrow.
Do you have the hours? Do you have the hours on this?
Well, let's see. That's too much for me.
Yeah, that's too much. But that's going to set the record tomorrow.
So tonight would tie the Mets, 8,019 games since their inception without a no-hitter.
8,019 games. Wow.
Yep.
Has anybody, this is not a fair question, but you're the type that might have done this, Kirk. Has anybody actually divided the number of no-hitters into the amount of games? I mean, what is the normal rate for a no-hitter? Like once every 3,000 games, every 4,000 games? Do you know what I'm asking?
I haven't done it that way. There have been exactly 300. The guy for the A's that pitched
last week,
I believe, was number 300. So that's about 2.5 a year, right?
2.5 a year. Okay. So
now,
and then the Padres are zero for 50 years.
And 1 month.
And 1 month and 8 days and 4 hours and 12 minutes.
Kurt, so.
part of the crazy thing is they've had all these close calls. They've got 31 hitters. They've got 22 games that went into the seventh, and they were still had a chance. And somehow it's been spoiled every time.
Now Chris Young is the closest so far, right?
Twice they've gone to the last out, Chris Young being one of those.
Who was the other?
One, I believe it was a combined no-hitter a couple of years ago that they didn't quite pull off. So I would tell you exactly, but, you know, I'm writing about it for tomorrow, so people listening, you know, if you want to pick up the Union Tribune tomorrow, there's a couple stories on this.
Yes, you'll get to get all the information tomorrow.
It's a very nice tease.
That's
there, Kirk.
That's a good tease, Kirk. let me ask you this. Is Clay Kirby going to be mentioned in your story?
He will be mentioned at least twice.
At least twice. All right, then I won't ruin why you're going to mention him. I won't ruin that.
Here's the beauty of this, and only I figured this out. Actually, I think somebody else did, but
now you're sounding like Scrooby.
Well, geez, can you edit that part out?
Can you edit that part out? He says.
Oh, there's a promo there.
Okay, go back to 1970, and this guy Clay Kirby has a chance. He's gone 8. No-hit innings. Padres are down 1-0, and Preston Gomez pinch hits for him. So he doesn't get the no-hitter, and the Padres give up a hit. The reliever gives up a hit in the ninth, so they don't get the no-hitter. Ever since then, that's been called the curse of Clay Kirby. Now, let's bring this full circle. The way pitching is today, I think it's doubtful that a starter is going to, especially with their pitch limits, going to be able to go the distance. So who would finish up the game probably?
Kirby Yates. I see what you're doing
how that
there.
Works?
I see what you're doing there,
If the
there,
Padres
Kirk.
Ever get a no-hitter, Kirby Yates might be the guy on the mound to get it. Very good, Clerk.
As long as maybe you stick around another
50 years. Yeah, he might have to come on. He might have to stick around for 50 more years, though. I don't know. Chris Paddock seems to be the most likely. I'm assuming you've asked a bunch of people if they think it can happen, and I would imagine his name has come up a couple of times somewhere along
the way.
Because
fact,
he just seems like he's got the stuff.
Right. He was pretty much the unanimous choice. In fact, it's funny, in high school, his very first high school win was a no-hitter, and he ended up pitching about 4 no-hitters, I believe, in high school. Now, that was a little bit easier. I think the hitters weren't quite as good.
Yeah,
on
I think you're
that,
right.
He only had to go 7 innings.
Right. But still.
And, you know, most of those guys, I think, at the lower levels, they've done that. But, obviously, it's a little bit more difficult at this level. And if you're the Padres, it's even more difficult. Now, you know, if I were them, I would spin it in a positive manner. I could say, you guys, anybody that comes to a game has the potential to see history by seeing the first Padres no-hitter.
Right. And that's going to hopefully not continue. Now, what would really be something is if your story comes out tomorrow and right next to it is a picture of Matt Strom jumping up with Kirby Yates because they just threw a no-hitter and missed the record by one day after all of this. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a good likelihood of happening.
No, it's not. We know. It's not. Why is it that some teams get them all the time? What is people's theory? I mean, the Dodgers, I think, have how many? 50 of these things? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think it's more like 25. But you bring up a point. Since the Padres came into being, there have been 133. Here's one of my favorite notes. So the Padres and the Montreal Expos came in at the same time in 1969. You want to give a guess how long it took the Montreal Expos to pitch a no-hitter?
2 years.
Yeah, less. I'd say Bill Stoneman did it in the second year. Yeah, Bill Stoneman. Was that it?
He is correct. You are correct. He's the one who did it. He did it in their ninth game of existence.
Ninth game? Wow. Yeah. So they got that out of the way really fast.
Right. And then he threw one a year or two later for good measure.
The interesting thing, too, about the Padres is that they've been no-hit by some of the all-time no-names, like Bud Smith of the Cardinals mm-hmm. is one that jumps to mind.
Right.
And then the one that A.J. Burnett threw against them with, like, 10 walks, was it?
Maybe
the worst no-hitter ever pitched. But how
and
many times?
The Dodgers threw the combined one. They've been no-hit 10 times.
10 times. Man. All right.
Twice by Lincecum.
Twice by Lincecum.
Yep, I was part of one of those.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
That's the worst feeling in the world as a player being no hit, isn't it? People think, you know, you want to all be sitting in on history. To me, it seems like if your team is being no hit, you don't want any part of that.
Yeah, I've been a part of four of them. Verlander, twice by the Giants. Once by Lincecum, once by Sanchez.
Oh, Jonathan Sanchez. Yeah.
Did you ever try dropping a bunt?
Yeah, I think I fouled it off, and then I was like, oh, that's the only chance I'm going to do that
one. Can't do it again. Yeah. Well,
I mean, because part of the culture is that you can't drop a bunt, you know, the unwritten rule. But there's one the Padres lost. Bob Ochenko had it in the 70s, and it got broken up by a bunt by Steve Garvey.
Yeah, Bob Brantley is still mad to this day about Ben Davis bunting with Curt Schilling.
But I didn't realize the Garve did that to the Padres one time.
That's right. Why, that's probably why my dad was like, hey, Ben, go ahead and do it. I saw Garve do it at one point.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it was 0-0, so it was obviously a game where you're trying to get a base runner.
Of course. You should try to win the game beyond all else.
That's a dumb rule. If that's an unwritten rule, that's a dumb one, by the way.
It is
the objection. The object is to win the game.
But since it's unwritten, though, you can't erase it.
Touche, Kirk. Touche.
Kirk's got a lot of good lines today. He's on a roll.
Saving them up since last time I was on.
We'll look forward to the story tomorrow in the paper. We'll hope that this record, if it is broken tomorrow night, doesn't last a whole lot longer, because it would be fun to finally get a no-hitter. The only serious wish that I have, and I think of things along the lines of a broadcaster, but Ted Leitner has got to be there for that no-hitter. He can't have the day off.
No.
You know what I mean? And if I'm not mistaken, when Tyson Ross went after his last year in Arizona, it was you and Jesse calling that game, wasn't it?
No, he was there. I don't know if Ted wasn't there, but I wasn't there for sure.
Oh, it wasn't you?
No.
But I just don't want somebody to throw a no-hitter and have Ted.
Didn't it almost happen twice last year?
It was close a couple times.
One of
them
Ted wasn't there for, and he was furious about it. So
it was close.
Well, they should just let him know the night it's going to be so he can make sure to be there.
Of course they should. Kirk, thank you for coming on, man. We'll make sure everybody goes out and gets that Union Tribune so they can read your terrific article.
I'll look forward to tomorrow. Thanks, Kirk.
All right.
Good stuff.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Kirk Kenny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Once a week, Gwen and Chris face their toughest decisions in the world of sports.
Now you have an adult decision to make.
Would you rather starts now?
This is going to be a tough one.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the title of this segment kind of gives it away.
No.
Would you rather do this or that? And Will Galvez is the master of ceremonies. He will put us behind the eight ball, and Tony and I will decide.
Real quick, before you get to that, I have some breaking news.
Oh, is it
worth
music?
Is it about
music?
The NBA playoffs?
No.
Is it worth music?
It's worth music.
Breaking news from 97.3 The Fan.
Yankees third baseman Miguel Andujar to undergo season-ending right shoulder labrum surgery on Monday. He's done for the year.
That sounder that Thomas plays, it sounds just like it's honestly Thomas doing that himself into the mic. I love that.
Well, he was.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good, Thomas. Very good.
So this injury.
So that's it for him.
Yeah, this injury won't heal before the year's out. So he won't be coming back.
So that means the Yankees are what? Going to be in the market for a third baseman, or they have plenty of guys to fill in
anyway?
Well,
they can always slide somebody over once, because their shortstop is down right now.
Their whole team is basically down. I mean, the fact that the Yankees are where they are right now is a masterful job by Aaron Boone, I would say. I mean, because I think they had 14, 15 guys on the disabled
list. Doesn't Tulo play for him?
Well, no.
He's injured, too.
Is he injured, too?
He's on the roster, but okay. He doesn't play, yeah. He's hurt. So Andujar's out, Tulo's
Gigi.
Out.
Gigi.
Didi Gregorius.
Didi. I knew it was a letter somewhere.
I don't think he's healthy yet.
No,
either.
But I'm saying once he comes back, they can slide over whoever they need to slide over, and they can just fill in there.
Well, I don't know who they have.
Well, that's true. Everybody
they're
is
all
hurt.
Injured. Aaron Boone may have to activate himself and go back and play some third base. Right now, you know who their third baseman is? Gio Urshela.
Oh, I love that guy.
You do?
Former Indian?
I've never
sure.
heard of him. Never heard of him before.
Wait, can Aaron Boone play, though? I would love to see a manager come back.
That would be funny. Put himself in a lineup.
No, I thought that's the whole thing why the managers wear the uniform is because they used to be able to play, too.
I'm going to go to my historian over here.
Well,
I know we had some player coaches.
There were some player managers back in the day, but the original guy, the original manager was Connie Mack.
Oh,
which
yeah,
was
yeah.
short for Cornelius McGillicuddy, former manager of the Philadelphia Athletics.
I would have shortened that up, too.
You didn't know that was his real name?
I did not know that.
Connie Mack's real name was, indeed, Cornelius McGillicuddy. He used to wear a suit
in the dugout.
He's the only manager I've ever seen photoed wearing a suit
what
in the
a
dugout.
Weirdo.
Hey, look, it's a whole lot better look than thinking of Tom Landry wearing Dallas Cowboy helmet and pads on the sidelines.
Touché.
Be honest with you. Or Phil Jackson in some tight, tight Laker shorts.
I wouldn't want to see it.
No. All right, let's get to would you rather see Phil Jackson in tight, tight Laker shorts or Tom Landry in a Dallas Cowboy helmet and shoulder pads?
Give me Tom in the Dallas Cowboy
yeah,
hat and shoulder pads.
That.
I want to see Phil in those short shorts.
You probably do
you
want to see
would
it.
Want to.
Same.
All right, you better jump in here, Will, or we're going to take your segment away from you.
All right. Well, no, I was trying to get that picture, the image of Phil Jackson in short shorts out of my head.
Just Google Phil Jackson, New York Knicks.
Yeah, because he used to wear them when he played. That's right. Good point.
Before we start, a little interesting note I saw on this date in 1973, and going off the interview that you guys had with Kirk earlier, Nolan Ryan tossed his first no-hitter on this date.
Ah, that is a good note.
Before we do the Would You Rather, Chris or Tony, did you ever watch or see in person or on TV Nolan Ryan throw a no-hitter?
Did I see any of his seven no-hitters? Seven. That's pretty crazy.
You have been around long enough.
He couldn't help himself.
He is so lucky he sits way over there. Oh, man. I think I saw two or three of them, yes.
I think I saw one.
I know I
but
saw
I
one.
Definitely saw him get Robin Ventura in a headlock, though.
Yeah,
I definitely
awesome.
Remember
no, I know I saw
that.
His record-breaking fifth no-hitter when he was with the Astros against the Dodgers. I remember watching that on a Saturday afternoon baseball game of the week. And I saw a couple of his Angel ones when I was a kid. So there
Seven.
You go.
That's, oh my God.
All right.
Ridiculous.
A lot.
Let's get it started. New York professional sports outside of the Yankees are a total dumpster fire right now. Considering the firing of ex-Jets GM Mike Maccagnan, as you guys mentioned earlier, and the Knicks failing to win the NBA lottery. Tony, you can lead off. Would you rather bet a week's pay on the New York Jets or New York Knicks making the playoffs first?
Week's pay. Now, for Tony Gwynn, that's saying something. For me, not too much.
I'm going to say the Jets.
The Jets over the Knicks.
I'm going to say the Jets over the Knicks.
I feel like the
Knicks are like snake bitten right now.
Even with the potential to land some superstars and get that a super team, hopefully?
I have to see it. There is nothing in recent history that has said the Knicks will get this right. Much like it is for the Lakers right now.
They just
I think the Lakers signed LeBron, so I can't even use that. So, yes, The Knicks haven't shown me anything that says they're going to get this right. They had a chance. They should have got a number one pick, and they finished third somehow. I don't think it's I don't see it happening. I'm going to have to see it first. Give me the Jets.
Jets.
J-E-T-S.
Jets.
Chris? I will bet my paycheck for a week against Tony's paycheck for a week, and I'll pick the Knicks to make the playoffs the Jets. And I have a reason. Because it's a whole lot easier to make the NBA playoffs than it is the NFL playoffs. The NFL playoffs, you have to be a really good team to get there. The NBA Eastern Conference, you conceivably can go like 35-47 and sneak your way in one year. So that's why I say the Knicks will do it before the Jets.
Okay, Tony's going with the Jets. Chris,
and is
with
that
the
a
Knicks.
Bet with the salaries? Because I like the.
By the way,
like the differential there.
The Raptors are up 24-12.
Kawhi.
Kawhi's on the way.
That a baby, Kawhi.
I'm actually glad you bring that up, Tony, because this next one, this might spark your interest. If you were the Lakers, which of the following K's would you rather have paired with LeBron James for next season? Kawhi, KD, Kyrie, Klay, or Kemba?
Kawhi. You can win with two wings as good as Kawhi and LeBron. Kawhi's going to be able to guard the best player. LeBron's going to be able to coast and just do his thing offensive. I'll give me Kawhi. I'll give me that type of player all day. Like, he reminds me so much of Kobe that I got to have him in the fold if it's out of those Ks.
He's a killer, Kawhi. Yeah.
He's been impressive.
I love KD. I just don't think his personality meshes the same. Kawhi is very quiet. I could see him.
He'd mesh well with LeBron.
Mesh well with Bron. Give me Kawhi.
Chris, how about you?
I want Kawhi.
Kawhi with the Lakers. Okay. I don't know. I mean, could you speculate that he would go or lean more towards the Clippers versus
the
Lakers?
Yes, we can speculate. Yeah, we already speculated it yesterday, and I think that anybody who has a choice between the Lakers and the Clippers, regardless of the situation, is going to pick the Lakers. If Kawhi Leonard wins three championships for the Clippers, I don't think they're building a statue of him outside Staples Center. If he wins one with the Lakers, he might
There's
get a statue.
There's not enough room to build Clipper statues.
That's
at the
true. They don't have any Clipper statues out there. They're all Lakers statues. But that's the truth. Is there a Clipper statue out there? I don't
Hashtag
think so.
Big facts.
Yeah.
Who would be the most famous Clipper of all time?
Most famous Clipper, Bob McAdoo. And he played for the Buffalo Braves before they became the Clippers.
All right. I have no idea who that is.
Well, look at us.
So he doesn't have a statue.
No. All right, Tony.
Maybe in Buffalo he does.
If you're a New Orleans sports fan, I think you'd be pretty hyped right now, considering what happened last night. At this point, would you rather draft Zion Williamson, number one overall, or have the no PI call for the Saints overturned?
If I'm a New Orleans fan?
And I can only have one,
well,
though.
Clearly, by the way the Pelicans are treated, the Saints are the number one thing out there. So I want that pass interference called, right?
I want my shot at the Super Bowl.
I want that pass interference called, and I want my shot at the Super Bowl. I mean, listen, AD's on his way out. We got the first pick. He still wants out. So there's really no hope for my Pelicans. Plus, they might be in Seattle before I know it. They might be back there. So give me the Saints PI and a chance at the Super Bowl with Drew Brees, because I feel like we got that one.
I think they're still having parades.
Yes, even against that other team from Boston.
Chris, how about you?
Same. I would. If you're that close to the Super Bowl, that's the moment that's going to hurt a whole lot more than the chance to draft a guy number one overall. I mean, with all due respect, I agree with Tony. I don't think Anthony Davis will stay there. I mean, the number one overall pick last year, I'm sure the Phoenix Suns were jumping up and down to get DeAndre Ayton. It helped them win Ayton games.
Oh, hey-o!
Hey-o!
That was a good one.
Ayton games.
I actually think they won 9. But it was close.
We'll pretend like it was 8.
Yeah. You know, number one guys, no matter who they are, very rarely come right in and make you competitive, but if you're a 12-yard field goal away from the Super Bowl, I like that position better. So I'd rather have that back.
Really fast, it's interesting. You know, about 7 years ago, AD was in the same position, going number one with the Pelicans.
7 years he's been in New Orleans. Taking L's.
That's a long time.
Could that's you see, a lot of humidity.
Could
man.
You see the same Ooh. Thing happening to Zion?
They don't even know. Summertime in New Orleans. I'm sorry, I digress, but.
Never mind summertime, wintertime. We went down there for that bowl game 1 year for the New Orleans Bowl, and it's sticky. And it was December. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I mean, I'm a Southern California boy. In that regard, I am all Southern California.
In the summertime, you can literally bite the air and chew it up. That's how thick it is.
That is disgusting.
That's how thick and humid it is.
So it's 100%. That's how bad it is.
It's awful.
I went to a Miami Marlins game one time, and they had the roof open. And they shouldn't have had the roof
open. Were you the only one there?
It was me and my friend and like maybe three other people in the stands. But it was so hot and humid, I couldn't believe they had the roof open. It's disgusting.
What was the question?
I don't remember. Well, no, it was going off of with AD. You know, Zion's in a similar position. I would assume they're going to draft him number one. Do you think he's going to get stuck in that kind of same predicament where there's nothing?
The short answer is yes, because they care about the Saints. They don't care about the Pelicans.
No. What I'm saying is with how talented AD is.
I know what you're saying.
And then Zion, him just staying there and kind of not going anywhere.
That's exactly what I'm saying is going to happen.
AD
just
even said.
Just same thing that happened to AD.
Yeah, he even said, he's like, the owner cares about the Saints way more than they care about us, so why would I want to be here?
And that's coming from somebody who's been there 7 years. So he's not just making that up.
That's coming from a guy who's been treated by the Saints training staff. As Tony pointed out earlier.
Big facts.
All right.
That's a wrap for Would You Rather on 97.3 The Fan.
That can't be a wrap. We still have 10 minutes left.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.